on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us, Patrick Neville. Representative Patrick Neville joining us now. Patrick, how are you?
Hey, good. How about you guys?
Doing good.
Doing mighty fine.
How's your summer going?
Oh, not too bad.
Did you get that painting project done?
On those honeydew list. Nope. Still working on it.
Okay. Just don't fall off the ladder or something.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, I haven't yet.
Good. No. Okay. Good.
All right, so you sent us a little clip that you wanted us to play.
Lots of visits to Sherwin-Williams.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, so this clip is, I think everything you need to know about the Mueller hearings happened in this clip. I mean, this was an amazing job by Representative Jim Jordan, who spent most of his career as a wrestling coach, went to Congress, but this is an amazing job that he did, just laying out the discrepancies within the report and then just trying to hear Mueller answer his questions is pretty enlightening.
Okay. All right, I'm going to play.
I found it very enlightening.
All right, I'm going to play. Charlie, you want to pull my laptop up? All right, here we go.
Joseph Mifsud on February 10th, 2017. In that interview, Mr. Mifsud lied. You point this out on page 193, volume 1, Mifsud denied. Mifsud also falsely stated. In addition, Mifsud omitted. Three times he lied to the FBI, yet you didn't charge him with the crime.
Did you say 193?
Volume 1, 193. He lied three times. You pointed out in the report. Why didn't you charge him with the crime?
I can't get into internal deliberations with regard to who would or would not be.
Charge a lot of other people for making a false statement. Let's remember this. In 2016, the FBI did something they probably haven't done before. They spied on two American citizens associated with a presidential campaign, George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. With Carter Page, they went to the FISA court. They used the now famous dossier as part of the reason they were able to get the warrant and spy on Carter Page for a better part of a year. With Mr. Papadopoulos, they didn't go to the court. They used human sources. All kinds of, from about the moment Papadopoulos joins the Trump campaign, you got all these people all around the world starting to swirl around him. Names like Halper, Downer, Mifsud, Thompson, meeting in Rome, London, all kinds of places. The FBI even sent a lady posing as somebody else, went by the name Asra Turk, even dispatched her to London to spy on Mr. Papadopoulos. In one of these meetings, Mr. Papadopoulos is talking to a foreign diplomat, and he tells the diplomat, Russians have dirt on Clinton. That diplomat then contacts the FBI, and the FBI opens an investigation based on that fact. You point this out on page 1 of the report. July 31st, 2016, they open the investigation based on that piece of information. Diplomat tells Papadopoulos, Papadopoulos tells the diplomat, Russians have dirt on Clinton. Diplomat tells the FBI. What I'm wondering is, who told Papadopoulos? How'd he find out?
I can't get into the evidentiary file.
Yes, you can, because you wrote about it. You gave us the answer. Page 192 of the report, you tell us who told him. Joseph Mifsud. Joseph Mifsud's a guy who told Papadopoulos. The mysterious professor who lives in Rome and London, works at teaching two different universities. This is the guy who told Papadopoulos. He's the guy who starts it all. And when the FBI interviews him, he lies three times, and yet you don't charge him with a crime. You charge Rick Gates for false statements. You charge Paul Manafort for false statements. You charge Michael Cohen with false statements. You charge Michael Flynn, a three-star general, with false statements. But the guy who puts the country through this whole saga, starts it all for 3 years we've lived this now, he lies, and you guys don't charge him. And I'm curious as to why.
Well, I can't get into it, and it's obvious, I think, that we can't get into charging decisions.
When the FBI interviewed him in February, FBI interviews him in February, when the special counsel's office interviewed Mifsud, did he lie to you guys too?
Can't get into that.
Did you interview Mifsud?
Can't get into that.
Is Mifsud Western intelligence or Russian intelligence?
Can't get into that.
A lot of things you can't get into. What's interesting, you can charge 13 Russians no one's ever heard of, no one's ever seen, no one's ever going to hear of them, no one's ever going to see them. You can charge them. You can charge all kinds of people who are around the president with false statements. But the guy who launches the guy who puts this whole story in motion, you can't charge him. I think that's amazing.
I'm not certain I agree with your characterizations.
Well, I'm reading from your report. Mifsud told Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos tells the diplomat. The diplomat tells the FBI. The FBI opens the investigation July 31st, 2016. And here we are 3 years later, July of 2019. The country's been put through this. And the central figure who launches it all lies to us. And you guys don't hunt him down and interview him again. And you don't charge him with a crime. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. The president was falsely accused of conspiracy. The FBI does a 10-month investigation. And James Comey, when we deposed him a year ago, told us at that point they had nothing. You do a 22-month investigation. At the end of that 22 months, you find no conspiracy. And what's the Democrats want to do? They want to keep investigating. They want to keep going. Maybe a better course of action, maybe a better course of action is to figure out how the false accusation started. Maybe it's to go back and actually figure out why Joseph Mifsud was lying to the FBI. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. That's exactly what Bill Barr's doing. And thank goodness for that. That's exactly what the Attorney General and John Durham are doing. They're going to find out why we went through this three-year saga and get to the bottom of it.
All right. There you go, Patrick.
That is good stuff. Holy cow.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, do you think this is part of why Bob Mueller is kind of shaking in his shoes a little bit? Is because he knows Bill Barr, Attorney General Barr, is going to actually look into all this nonsense that was going on?
Oh, without a doubt. And great for Jim Jordan, who you guys know, he actually ran for Speaker of the House. And then when he was running for Speaker of the House, they brought all these crazy accusations against him, too. So he knows what this feels like. So the establishment actually went after Jim Jordan, but Jim Jordan stood up strong and I think was the hero of these Mueller hearings. And if you look at, there's some others too, like Louie Gohmert had a great questioning of Bob Mueller. I mean, this is just, I think we're going to start seeing some serious stuff come out of what Jim Jordan was saying. The fact is, Bill Barr is going to investigate this.
Well,
and I don't think we're seeing an end to it.
Along those lines, real quick, and I'll give credit where credit's due. Andy Pate, one of my Friday shows, predicted this would be the best summer for Republicans probably in the last century, given all that's going to come out in this regard. And you know what? So far, he's right.
Without a doubt. I mean,
this is amazing.
It's sad. I mean, we don't want a best summer for Republicans, you and I and Dan, and we want the best summer for America. And that's what's really frustrating about this, is this whole thing has been so turned on Trump to go after Trump that it's been hurting America. And that's why I like Trump, that Trump's like, no, let's get back to putting America first. Trump's not dwelling on this or trying to make sure that, I mean, he could have investigated Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all the other people going way back when. They haven't put all their time and energy doing that. He's trying to put America first. So I want to give credit to Trump on that, because he's trying to do what's best for the country. But
well said,
the investigators there need to actually make sure justice is served.
Well, I was going to say,
Jordan brought up a lot of good points.
Agree, but, and I agree with what Jim Jordan said. On the same token, the people that started all of this and put the country through however many millions of dollars of investigation that we've gone through, plus all of the other, just the saga, the ongoing nonsense we've all had to endure. Yeah, those people should be brought to justice, period.
Right. Yep. Couldn't agree more.
And he's right on that. He very much.
Spot on.
And I would, if I was President Trump, I'd probably be backing away from that and say, you know what, guys, Republicans, whatever you guys want to do on this, you know what? Ball's in your court now. You figure out what you want to do. You get the ball rolling. Attorney General Barr, you know, whatever you feel like you need to do, I put you in charge. You're the guy. You're my guy. I'm not going to micromanage you. You figure out what you need to do, and it's all yours, but I'm going to go run the country.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly what Trump is doing right now. He's saying, nope, it's the ball's in your court. You manage this. I've got enough experience now in this job that I can actually start moving forward in other things. And Trump always has his focus forward. And so his focus is going forward to help move the country forward and actually lower health insurance costs, actually keep improving the economy. And he's done well on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got his guy in place who can look after this stuff, make sure justice is served, so he doesn't have to spend all his time on this. The only thing preventing him from actually focusing totally on doing all the things that a president needs to do to make sure the country's stable is the fake news media. And they're out there still trying to somehow push that, oh gosh, there was still a crime committed. But if any logical human being looked at not only the report or the you know, the actual Bob Mueller testimony. It was horrendous. Like, there was no crime committed whatsoever.
His testimony was awful, actually, by the way.
Using GPS. So if you go to Louis, if any of the folks, listeners out there want to actually go out there, look at Louis Gohmert's, Louis Gohmert, Bob Mueller, and you'll see it. Louis Gohmert talks about using GPS, and it's amazing. Bob Mueller tries to play dumb, like, oh, I don't know who they are. Like, really? Really? It's in your report.
Right.
You know, I don't know if Bob Mueller's ever looked at his report. I don't know if he's ever read
it. I think somebody else
report.
Wrote the whole thing.
I'm beginning to believe those that think that he was just a figurehead in this whole thing. And what was I going to say? But Patrick, you know, you were talking about facts and logic. You deal with Democrats all the time. Do they even deal in the world of facts and logic?
No, not that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to spin some false narrative based on feelings. And that's what they've done for the last 2.5 years. And I think even their feelings are falling apart, because if any American listens to that 5-minute clip that you guys just played, they're going to go, wait, my feeling is this is wrong. This is so wrong. And it's the same thing the Democrats tried to do to Kavanaugh and several other folks. They're using the same play over and over. Mm-hmm. And it's got to stop. We got to get back to some sort of decency in policy and in legislation and in politics.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
I don't think the Democrats want to go there.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, Patrick. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back, finish things up. Littleton Jewelry's up next. And we talk about it all the time, but keep your jewelry in top working order. What I mean by that is things can get
really tough.
Discover your investment personality with Presidential Wealth Management, proud sponsor of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Representative Patrick Neville with us. All right, so let's relate all of what just happened with what's going on in Colorado. I've got a couple of questions for you. So first of all, how are we doing in the state when it comes to recall efforts and things along those lines? Give us an update, if you would.
Yeah, so there's several recall efforts that have been actually turned on. So one is an effort to actually recall the governor. This is like the ultimate hilltop to climb. But I don't want to discourage it. Like, please, if you find someone out there who's recalling the governor, sign that petition. Please do. Go forward to it. It's going to be really tough to get 600,000 signatures. And there's other recall efforts out there for like Senator Brittany Pedersen and others. But ultimately, like, these are really hard hills to climb, because you got to get 20% of all the electorate, the past electorate, to sign on to a recall. So if you're out there and you're Republican and you're upset, sign on to all these recalls. And I point people to recallcolorado.com. That's our website. We are helping out with all these different recalls. So if you are in Weld County and you're mad over a legislator in Jefferson County, like, we will plug you in and tell you how you can help. So go to recallcolorado.com. We will help with that effort in all these different areas. It's been, quite frankly, between you and I and your listeners and everyone else, because it's been put out there, I'm kind of upset, because it's kind of become a turf war amongst different Republicans and different consultants on who controls what.
Okay.
And that's what's deterring the effort to actually recall these legislators. So this group will form a recall effort and say, well, no, we can't work on the same petition you work on. And it's really frustrating. And with recallcolorado.com, like, we are willing to work with anyone and spend money on any of these recalls. If you're 1,000 signatures short, we're going to probably put money towards it, get you over the line, get that on the ballot. But what we're seeing right now is there's a lot of different establishment Republicans out there trying to discourage that, because they're not profiting on it.
Okay, makes sense. One other question, and this actually is coming from Charlie. There was a situation where they were certain individuals trying to tear down Columbine. Actually, school board was trying to tear down Columbine. Individuals on the school board were. What are your thoughts on that?
That was absolutely ridiculous. And that was the school board and the superintendent trying to make an emotional play so they could steal more of the taxpayers' dollars, and that was despicable and pathetic. That school was not in total disrepair. It's not in total disrepair. They should actually repair the school, do what they need to do with that. My good friend, Evan Todd, wrote a great article on CompleteColorado.com explaining this. That was disgusting. These guys tried using the Columbine tragedy in the 20 years after the fact to try to get more money out of your pockets, and that was disgusting, and I'm glad they turned back from it.
Okay. Well said.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Patrick, appreciate it very much. We'll have you back again, of course. Enjoy the summer, and keep us updated on what's going on.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
You betcha. Appreciate it very much. All right, we'll take our last time out this hour. Come back. Got a little segment and then another full hour coming your way. Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse.